Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for having us, because this is truly a blessing for us to be here to honor your pastors, Pastor Rob and Gail. They are dear friends of ours. I'm so blessed that you just blessed them the way you did. It's rich. God is so pleased with that. And I just love you guys. They're the cutest couple, I swear. I mean, they really are. This is my wife.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank God. I feel wrecked right now by the Lord. Where are the leaders that were just here? Could you stand, the leaders? Stand. Those who were up here. I just want to thank you for honoring your pastors. I believe that something happened in the heavenlies in your honoring. It's breaking open something to pour out a blessing upon this house to honor your spiritual mama and papa. And so I just want you to realize that God used you this morning to start to break open the very purposes of God that he has for this house. Remain faithful. Remain faithful and loyal. Amen? Thank you. Thank you for doing that. It was such a blessing. I'm wrecked, so I know God has a word for your mama and papa, but I don't know if it's the time to release it right now. But this is a new beginning for sure. This is a new beginning, and it's new wine. It's new wine. You know, it's in the crushing of the grapes that new wine comes forth. And to be pastors is no easy task. Is no easy task. I can say that, because we've been pastors for many, many years. And it's because of their love for God that they continue to stand and remain faithful and loyal. And I know that this is a new beginning, and it's new wine. The old is gone, the new has come. So I say to Mama and Papa, and to the children, the family in this house, get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Because God is about to pour out the new wine, and he wants vessels to receive the new wine. Amen? Amen.
She's good. I'm going to keep her for another 50 years. We just celebrated our 50th anniversary last November. You do recall that we got married when we were 6, so we're not that old. Okay, and the Lord has been using us in these last days to travel extensively. We're not pastoring any longer. The Lord reassigned us. We're now in Houston, Texas. So forget about it, y'all. And we've been to Russia doing pastors' conferences along with our church and ministering to them. How pastors so need to be comforted and encouraged. They need your prayers. They need your fellowship. They need to know that the kids really appreciate them. They really, really do. And they need apostolic and prophetic covering. They need fathers and mothers. And that's happening in the body of Jesus Christ. And we're really, really excited about that. Having traveled around the world to a great extent, we were in Israel, Greece, Spain. I went back for a conference in Paris. And now we're here. And this, it's just great to be here because we sense, as my wife so prophetically perceived, a shift in the atmosphere. There's a change in the climate of the church. The church is hungering for the presence of God, because we know that where the presence of the Lord is, there's fullness of joy. That when the King resides in the house, whether it's my house, whether it's our marriage, whether it's our home, and certainly in the family of God, where the King resides, there is fullness of joy and the outpouring of everything that God has in His kingdom. I mean, healing, health, deliverance, salvation, victory over our enemies, destinies, richness on every level. And that is the hunger that Jesus, it's not a dry prayer, you know, that we should pray, "Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." What's going on in heaven? We want to bring the atmosphere of heaven into our circumstances, into our situations, into our lives. And how many of you believe that heaven can change anything? The atmosphere of heaven can change any circumstance, any situation. The devil can't live in heaven. Poverty doesn't live in heaven. Sickness doesn't live in heaven. Mourning and sighing and sorrow don't live in heaven. It's joy, the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. So there's strength in heaven. There's wealth in heaven. So what's going on in heaven that we want to bring in earth? We get a picture of that in Revelations. Actually, Hebrews 2:7 says that the Lord, who is the Lamb, seated at the right hand of the Father, is crowned with glory and honor. And then Revelations 4, 9 and 11, He is receiving glory and honor and thanks. There is a declaration in heaven. Heaven's not a quiet place. There's going to be some silence in heaven just before the Lord returns. But for the most part, heaven is filled with praise and honor and glory. They are declaring the worthiness of our King. They are declaring His lordship. I dare say we can change almost any atmosphere. I would dare say any atmosphere by declaring the fact that this place is subject to His lordship. There is no Lord above the lordship of Jesus Christ, and we declare it, we release heaven on earth. So they're doing that in heaven, and that's why there's continuous light. There is no darkness. That's why there's continuous joy. There is no sorrow. That's why there's health, not healing, health. Everybody's healthy in heaven. Come on, say amen, right? We can bring that health to earth through declarations of His glory, His honor, His power. He is worthy to be praised. All wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise to Him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory. It just goes on and on and on and on. That's the atmosphere of heaven. If we break down these scriptures, we see two primary components. The one component is the radiation or the emanation of the nature of God Himself. His glory, His majesty, His holiness, His power, His light, His love. All of His attributes are radiating throughout heaven. We want that radiation. I want to get radiated. You know what I mean? I mean, I want to get saturated in the persons of God. The fullness of the Father, the fullness of His love, the fullness of the Son, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I want to live in that atmosphere. So how does that atmosphere continue and get cultivated, we see three other components, and that is the activity in heaven. So number one, there's the radiation of his glory. Then there's the activity of heaven, which breaks down into three primary components: honor, praise, and thanksgiving. That's constant. There's constant praise, constant worship, constant thanksgiving, constant honor. We're going to land on honor today. We see these things surrounding the throne, the activity of heaven, the honor, the praise, the worship, and the thanksgiving is the culture of heaven. Culture is how we do things here, all right? So that whatever happens in heaven is done through honor, through praise, and thanksgiving. That's the culture of heaven. So we're asking ourselves, if we want to bring the culture of heaven to earth, then we have to develop a culture of honor, praise, and thanksgiving in all the environments that we live in. Because the culture of heaven draws down and cultivates the presence and the emanation of who God is. He lives in a culture of honor, praise, and thanksgiving. He embraces those that honor him. We want to embrace his presence by bringing the culture of honor into the earth. When we honor on earth like he is being honored in heaven, we get heaven on earth. Now, we're familiar with honor on a lot of levels. We have honor rolls, we have medals of honor, we have the Honorable Judge Judy. We have honorable degrees. We have marriage vows that include honor and obey. We have maids of honor at our weddings. So we understand this. But honor fundamentally comes from the nature of God. His glory, all of his attributes receive honor. And the amazing part is that 1 Samuel 2:20 tells us, 2:30 actually, that's about the time we're going to get out of here today, about 2:30. 1 Samuel 2:30, those who honor me will be honored. So here's the principle. As we honor up, honor comes down. We're looking to be honored, but the way to activate honor, which cultivates the atmosphere of heaven, so the way to cultivate the atmosphere of heaven is to honor up so that his honor comes down. Those who honor are like God. God honors himself. He honors himself. The Son honors the Father. The Father honors the Son. The Holy Spirit honors the Son, who honors the Father. They're in love with one another. They honor. They lift up. They speak highly of one another. Amen? So, we who honor God receive God's honor. And just like the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, honor is given away. They honor one another. So the culture on earth that needs to be developed, that God is looking for, is the honoring of one another. Because when we honor one another, God honors us. You catching? All right. So we'll be the recipients of all of the goodness of God when we develop a culture that he's comfortable to reside in. We want honor in our homes. We want God to dwell in our homes. We want the richness of his kingdom come in our homes, and certainly in our church. Now, the root of honor is the same as that for glory. To honor someone is to give them glory. To honor someone is to declare their positive attributes. You'll never hear anything negative up in heaven. Now, I'm not perfect, but my wife honors me by telling me, how great I am, how handsome I am. I'll never get puffed up because I know who I am. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we won't puff one another up. We're not going to feed pride. We're going to feed the character of God inside of us by honoring what God has created, not what the devil has created. We don't have to be afraid of fueling the enemy when we start to fuel an atmosphere that God comes into. Don't have to be afraid of that. We need to do a whole lot of it. So we look at the positive attributes and we tell them, we praise them, we give gifts to them. My wife, her love language is not receiving gifts. It's not gift giving. Mine is. I love it. Give me gifts. Give me gifts. Give me a can of tennis balls, okay? And I'm just, because I play tennis. Okay, so I just love it. Now I can clean the whole house, and I do. I'll clean the whole house. I'll clean the bathrooms. I'll clean the kitchen. I'll do the rugs, the windows, the mirrors. Oh, I hate mirrors. So first thing she goes to look at is the mirror. But I can do all of that, and then on top of that, I go to the store before she comes home. I've been working for 8 hours. She's gone. She's out, you know, ministering somewhere. We have a lot of ministry activities in her life, and she'll come home, and I will have gone out and gotten a whole vase of flowers, and I put those in the middle, you know, of the kitchen or the dining room, so she sees the clean house and flowers. I'm honoring her. She's a princess. She's coming into her palace. And she walks in the house. Oh, I scent the house also. The stuff you put on the rug. You stick the things in the sockets. The house smells like, you just got to have a florist. And she walks in the house and goes, okay, that's good. I'm going, come here, let me show you what I did. Look at the sweaty clothes that's in the hamper that you're going to wash tomorrow. Look at, okay. Not a big deal for her. You know why? Because it's not her love language. If I want to really honor her, I have to shut my cell phone off, turn the computer off, sit at the table, sit in the bed, and allow her to talk to me, allow the atmosphere of heaven to come down where there's really healthy, edifying communication, because her language is love language. Her love language is communication. What? Words? What? 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 Quality time. Speak up. I got a plug in my ear. She thought I... Quality time. So here's one of the keys to developing an atmosphere of heaven. Find out the people that you're in relationship. Find out what their love language is and honor them by giving them the gift of yourself in the way that they can receive it. Come on, say amen. Come on, this is good. You adorn them with gifts and status and wealth. I'm constantly giving her money, so, I get the wealth from heaven, I give it to her, and she paints her nails. You give your wealth away, okay? That's a blessing. You're creating, no, seriously, she gets totally blessed when I say, go get your nails done. She gets totally blessed. There's a place right around the corner from us down in Houston. I mean, up here, it's really expensive, $60. Down there, she can get a full body massage for $20. $25? $13. $38. It's gone up since the last time I bought you a gift certificate. Okay. And you promote them, you lift them up, you put them in first place. I am shocked at the way New Yorkers drive. I think I forgot about it. In Texas, they're cowboys. I mean, they're just, five-lane highways. Everybody's going 80 miles an hour in a 70 zone. And they're just zoom, 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 right? In New York, you've only got two lanes. So somebody's in the left lane, and somebody is going too slow in the left lane. Somebody's coming up on the right lane, and they don't beep, they don't honk, they don't get behind. They get behind you, so you can't, in the rearview mirror, you can't see their front bumper. Okay, I think he wants to pass me. So you know, you don't move over quick enough. They go to the right, and then they cut you off so you can't see their rear bumper from where you're driving. I mean, I got cut off four times in a half an hour. I was like, oh, take me back to Texas. So you give them first place. You get out of the line. You give people credit for what you did. Instead of taking the trophy, you give it to somebody else. When I was in sixth grade, my teacher, Jackie loves this story. We have time, right? Oh, it's 2 Samuel 2:30. Okay, it's only 20 to 1. Okay, there was a contest in school at Christmas time. The teacher broke us down into groups. Each group got a bulletin board, and there was a contest who could make the best Christmas bulletin board. And I got the worst kids in the class. I mean, I got the kids that didn't come to school. I got the kids that didn't do their homework. I got the kids that were down, you know, getting detention. She gave me four of those, so there were five of us. And to build this bulletin board, like they were interested in reindeers and Christmas trees. They weren't. They had switchblades. We did the bulletin board, and guess what? We won. We won the prize, which was a candy bar about this big. There's five of us, one candy bar. One candy bar. I looked at the teacher and I said, I'm going to get killed if I keep this. Okay? So there was one kid there, Charlie. Charlie was after me. He didn't like me. He had a little gang. He would attempt to... I'm serious. He used to attempt to jump me downtown. He had his gang chase me because I didn't get bussed. I had a bicycle. And they would chase me on their bicycles to try to beat me up. Charlie, we won the prize. I got the candy bar. I went up to Charlie and I said, Charlie, we won. Here's the candy bar. I honored him. He didn't share it with me or anything. Now that's back in sixth grade. So this is back in the 1800s when Lincoln was president. And just 4 years ago, I get a letter in the mail. Simple little letter on white piece of paper, one sentence. If you're the Dennis Bambino that went to Pine Avenue during these years, would you call me? I have something for you. And his phone number, Charlie. I'm going, wow. Okay, so I call him up. I'm going, this is Charlie? And he said, yeah. And he said, listen, I have to ask you to forgive me for what I did to you when I was a kid. Charlie would have been in prison today, except for certain circumstances. He's now a multi-millionaire. And he's not a Christian, but the Lord was dealing with him. And he calls me up to ask me to forgive him. It winds up he's in Dallas, and we've become good friends. Can I tell you something? I believe that candy bar was a seed of honor that produced, and we've already given them the gospel, all right? And we're going to, you know, they're going to come to the Lord. We have no doubt about it. Charlie is going to become a man of God because of a seed of honor that was given to him when he was in the sixth grade. Honor can't be underestimated. So how do we get to the kingdom of God on earth? Well, for time's sake, I'm just going to encapsulate this to some extent. The first thing we do is honor God. Obviously, honor goes up so honor can come down. So we've got to cultivate a culture of honor in my spirit, man, giving honor to God, giving him praise, giving him thanksgiving, giving him the first fruits of our wealth. Honoring him with our body, which is his tabernacle. Honoring him and thanking him for all that he has done. Getting caught up in the culture of heaven causes my sanctuary to become a resting place, the government of God within me, the kingdom of God within me, and I become a dispenser now of the kingdom culture of honor. I start changing atmospheres by doing the same thing that is being done in heaven, the same thing that I've joined into with the angels and the saints and all of the elders. so that as I walk into a situation, I begin to praise and give thanksgiving for my life, and I begin to honor the people that God is connecting me with, releasing the culture of honor around me. And where I bring the culture of honor, the atmosphere changes. I bring an atmosphere. I'm not bragging. I mean, I'm working on this, but this is critical because our world needs to experience the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Can you say amen? And the only way they're going to do that, Jesus already come. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's not coming again until he comes for the kingdom, for it comes for his bride, comes for his people. All right, so we become the dispensers. We become the distributors of the atmosphere of heaven on earth. So if it's in me, it can come out of me. Can you say amen? All right, so we want the kingdom to permeate our marriages, our jobs. We honor our bosses. And today, of course, we honor Pastor Rob. We honor Pastor Gail. And what we're doing by doing that is we're saying, God, we want you to be comfortable in this church. We want your kingdom to come right here. We want your healings. We want your glory. We want your miracles. We want your light. We want your power. We want your goodness. We want your holiness. We want the whole enchilada. We don't want to take a little bit of it. We don't want to be on the outside looking in. We want to be on the inside pushing it out into the world. Can you say amen? This is a precious privilege of the children of God. I mean to say, seriously, this worship team is a treasure. You have a fresh anointing on you, sister. I can feel it. I haven't been here for a year, but you have grown in worship, and there is a presence here. But I'm telling all of you that they are not the ones to bring you into the presence of God. It's you coming in with the presence of God and then being lifted to another level by anointed worship, anointed prayer, anointed prophetic declarations. Don't make them work to get you up. Come in up and go to another level. This church is poised for an explosion. It starts with you. It goes to your home. Honor. Husbands and wives, honor one another. Don't talk down. Don't criticize. Don't put down. Don't demand. That's the devil's dirty dealings. We reverse that with praise, thanksgiving, and honor. Praise and thanks and honor your spouse. It's not difficult. If they're in Christ, listen, if they are in Christ, and even if they're not, but especially if they're in Christ, there's Christ in them that you can honor by honoring them. When you honor a person who's carrying Christ, you honor the Christ that's in them, who honors the Father that's in heaven, who pours out the atmosphere of heaven into that very declaration of thank you, I praise you. That was really good. Jackie always says, why are you constantly thanking me for washing your clothes? Why do you thank me for cooking these incredible gourmet meals? I thank you. I praise you. You did such a great job. Thank you, because I don't cook and I don't wash. And I'd be hungry and very stinky if you were around. So I praise and thank her. I buy her flowers on a regular basis. Believe it or not, we're 72 years old. No, seriously. I don't know whether to laugh or cry over that. But when she was 72, I always bring her flowers. So this time I said, no, she expects a bouquet of flowers, a bouquet of 12 flowers. So I sat her down and I brought her a bouquet of flowers, 12 flowers. And I said, wait a minute, we're not done. I brought her another. I had them all lined up in the garage. And I brought out another one. And I gave her the second 12. And then I brought her and I gave her the third 12. And then I brought her the fifth 12 and the sixth 12. And by the sixth 12, it was 72 roses. It was perfect. She's my queen. Tonight's gonna be a good night. Okay. That's Not playing games. And I'm the king of the castle, and she makes me feel like a king. I mean, seriously. You know, the first commandment after, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and then love one another, the first commandment of the first 10 commandments was honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Why was that necessary? It was necessary because the commandment was given to a bunch of slaves, people that were in bondage, people that were under oppression, and they had to learn kingdom culture. So it started out with honor your father and mother, let's set the platform, and then after that, honor one another, because every sin after that, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, is a dishonoring of someone somehow. All sin is a dishonoring of somebody. But if you set the tone, the atmosphere of honor, the blessings of God, the power of God to resist the devil and he will flee from you is right there, so that the atmosphere of heaven permeates the relationship with grace. Honor your father and mother. It's got to be cultivated in the home. Romans 12:16, in our church, in our extended family right here, which we're putting a little bit of an emphasis on, it says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Honor one another above yourselves. Put someone else first. Thank them for their gift. When you honor someone, the atmosphere is now created for heaven. You get honored. How do you get honored when you honor someone else? Not always directly from the Father, but the honor releases the heaven that is in them, the gift that is in them, and you become the recipient of their grace. You become the recipient of their strength. I do not have the whole enchilada. I need what my wife has. She needs what I have. We need what one another has. We need what Rob and Gail has. We are relationally connected. And when we honor one another, those graces that God has deposited in each one of us get released and we all get blessed. Honor produces unity. We come together in honor. Honor fuses us together. There's no disunity in the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. None whatsoever. Criticism, complaining, arguing, competition, disrespect, put-downs, fault-finding creates division. Dishonor produces division. We don't want any more division. Let's get it over with. No more division in our relationships with our spouses. No more division in our relationships with our children. No more division in the churches. We've had enough. Let's come together and do something that maybe has never been done before. Let's demonstrate unity by honoring one another, producing the kingdom of heaven and the atmosphere, and releasing that into every situation and circumstance. The prodigal went to the father and said, "Give me." He didn't have a right to the inheritance until his father dies. But he said, "Give me." Do you know what destroys unity? Do you know what dishonors one another? When you go to someone and you say, "Give me," we say, "Give me to my spouse." Okay, give me what, you know, what I deserve. We don't deserve anything. We don't deserve anything. We were slaves to sin. We were bought out of bondage. Everything that we get is a grace gift, and we have no right to say, "Give me." So we need to change our culture, our gimme culture, okay, to a give to you culture. I bless you. Get honor in, get the give me culture out. Philippians 2:3, do nothing out of selfish ambition, it's all about me, or vain conceit, I'm more important than you are, but in humility consider others better than yourself. When that starts happening, miracles start happening. Prayers start to get answered. Strength comes in. Weakness goes out. Sorrow goes out. And joy comes in. Things start to happen. When Jesus went to his hometown, they dishonored him. Isn't he just like, I mean, we know his brothers and his sister, and his father was Joseph, and his mother is Mary. And Jesus said, only in his hometown is a prophet without honor. And he could do no miracles there, only a few. He was dishonored, and dishonor cuts off, truncates the flow of God's ministry. Truncates the grace that we need in order to be victorious. Truncates the power that we need in order to overcome the resistance of the enemy. It truncates the love we need in order to love one another. God's love empowers us to love the unlovely. So honor in our homes and here in this church, the miracles and the healing that we want is once again honoring the Christ in us. Honor catapults all of us when we build a culture of honor. It catapults us to another level of authority, another level of destiny, another level of completing the call of God on our life, another level of being knitted and connected together so that we all rise up and get something done that none of us can do on our own. Joseph honored Potiphar by not accepting Potiphar's wife's advances. He honored the baker and the butler. Then he honored Pharaoh. And what happened? What happened to Joseph? He was lifted up and put into second command. Was it difficult to honor under those circumstances? Absolutely. It's a stretch. But when you honor and believe that God honors those who honor him by honoring one another, God will advance you. God will give you a promotion. You are about to be promoted. You are about to advance. You're about to go to another level. Esther honored Mordecai and took counsel from the elders. You need to take, that's why Pastor Rob and Pastor Gail are here, because they have wisdom. It's not because they're smarter than you. It's because they've been put into a position to be receptacles of wisdom the body needs. So when you heed to the wisdom that God gives the vessel, you get blessed. And everybody grows. And Esther went on to be the queen because she submitted to her father. These are spiritual moms and dads. These are those who of themselves, yep, they're just like you and me. Yep, they're just brothers and sisters. Nope, God put them in that position. They're a mommy and that daddy. They're a spiritual head for this house. And when you honor them, you honor the Father that put them there, and it releases the kingdom of God. It releases authority. It releases power. It releases gift. It releases people into their destiny. Ruth honored Naomi, her spiritual mom. They weren't connected by blood. You're not connected to these two people by blood. You're connected by spiritual design. And when you honor your Naomis, you get your Boazes. You get what God has reserved for you, no matter what it looks like. God has a way where there is no way, and he's going to connect you to blessings that you couldn't make happen if you worked for it for the rest of your life. Honor produces wealth. Jacob honored his agreement with Laban to work for 7 years to get Rachel as his bride. Laban tricked him. It was all about the sheep. Laban pulled the wool over his eyes. But Jacob, nevertheless, honored Laban. Worked for him for another 7 years to get his bride. Let me tell you, if you love the Lord, no matter how the devil tries to trick you or keep you in labor, okay, when you connect with the Father of grace, you will allow those, as we sang about today, the transformational processes that produce Christ in you. And when you're ready, when you are in the position of being more Christ-like than you ever have before, because it's Jesus that brings the kingdom of God, because he's the king, when you allow him to be king and Lord, and it's his will, not your will, the kingdom of God, it will break the bondage and it will release the blessing that you have waited for. Abraham honored Lot by giving him the first choice of the land. Give everybody else the first choice. Don't worry about being, you know, hey, what about me? What about me? Hey, come on. I mean, God, come on. I put everybody first. I bless them. What about me? What about me? Abraham wasn't worried about that. He said, you take your pick of the land. Go ahead. You go first, and I'll just wait, and I'll believe in God. Because I honored you, I know God will honor me. What happened? Lot wound up in Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham wound up to be the richest man on the planet. You're about to get promoted. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Don't be stingy. Get the, you know, cut off the alligator arms. Can't seem to get down to my wallet. You know, the check comes to the table. Can't get the check. Oh, you'll take it? Oh, thank you. Relationships come on three levels, and I want you to just hear this quickly. There's family relationships, there's governmental relationships, and there's bridal relationships. And they apply especially here in the magnified family. They apply in your family. And they are magnified here in the local church. The family relationship is the father-son relationship. It is the brother-sister relationship. We're all brothers and sisters of one another. We need to honor one another. When we honor a member of the body, the rest of the body gets honored. You cannot dishonor, okay, your hand and expect it to work for you. You cannot. The second relationship is governmental. There's headship. The Father is the head of Jesus. Christ is the head of the church. Christ has positioned people like Pastor Rob and Pastor Gail and positioned them as heads. Fathers are the heads of their house. That doesn't mean they're better than you. It means that they're set in by God. And when you honor them, the government God is one of the avenues through which he pours out his blessing. And there's bridal relationships. Rob and Gail are groom and bride. Bride and groom. Why is that so important? Because Jesus elevated the entire body of Jesus Christ and calls us his bride. So he wants us to honor one another in that bridal relationship that God is preparing for his coming. Can you say amen? When I dishonor you, or you dishonor me, or we dishonor our pastors, okay, we are smearing, throwing mud on the bridal garment of his bride. Come on, we got to stop that. We got to cut that out. I mean, we've got social media, don't we? Social media can be, you know, it can be a blessing or it can be a plague. And it's time for us to stop with Facebook and do FaceTime. Come on now. Come on. Now I'm going to talk church. And you apply this to husbands and wives. All right? I don't go on Facebook and complain about my wife. You don't go on Facebook and complain about your brother and sister. You don't go on Facebook and complain about the body of Jesus Christ. You don't go on Facebook and complain about this house that God has ordained. You don't go on Facebook and complain about Pastor Rob and Gail. You don't do that. God wants FaceTime, not Facebook. He said, speak the truth in love. That means, look, you honor one another in your disagreement by coming together and saying, this is how I feel. I love you. I've dealt with my feelings. I've dealt with my hurt before the Lord. And now I'm dealing with our disagreement so that we can get the disagreement out and get unity in. But in communicating honestly with love, I am producing an atmosphere of honor, and God is going to bless that. Turn your gossip into gospel. Is that good? I thought that was really good, and I just got that before in worship. Seriously, that's a fresh download. Write that down. Take that home. Turn your gossip into gospel. You know what? When you get on of Facebook, don't gossip, turn it into gospel. The gospel is good news. I've got good news for all my friends on Facebook. We had a wonderful time in church today. My marriage is doing really well. God's pouring out his blessings. We're king's kids, and the king is residing in the atmosphere of honor, and you release honor through Facebook. Use the media to promote the kingdom of God, not to promote the kingdom of criticism and the culture of dismantling people. No, no, no. You're about building people up. You're about honoring them. You're about blessing them. You're about releasing goodness and blessing. Amen? I thought that was good. You know how dangerous dishonor is in the body of Jesus Christ? Let me show you. Miriam and Aaron, you know the story. They suddenly decided that they were equal to their brother and cousin. They were related. When they revolted against Moses, they revolted on all three levels of relationship. On the family relational level, on the governmental level, and on the bridal level. God was not pleased. On the relational level, they were brother and sister. And God wants us to love one another. And they violated that by saying, we're better than him. We can do a better job. You think you can do a better job than Rob and Gail? Try it. Go ahead, try it. No, I'm serious. You quit your job, turn in your IRA and your 401k, give it all up, move to wherever God tells you to move to, all right? And then put yourself in the place of dying for other people who couldn't give a squat. And live as dead people so that others can live. Absolutely serving the Lord by serving other people. If you think you can do that, if you've got a call to do that, God will give you the grace. These two people are graced. That's why they're doing this. So they're not equal to you. They're brother and sister with a specific calling upon their life. And when you usurp their authority, okay, all right, you are violating your relationship with them as brother and sister, as mother and father of the house. That's the family relationship that you violate. Then you're violating the governmental relationship because God's put them as the head over the church. Amen? And then, this is really cool. I said, what got into Miriam and Aaron? You read it, and you know what they were ticked off about? They were ticked off with the fact that Moses married a Cushite and took her as his bride. And they didn't like Cushites. They were prejudiced against who he married. I dare say one of the hardest jobs in the world is being a pastor. But the harder than the hardest job, is being a pastor's wife. And you know, when you come against the pastor's wife, you come against the pastor. You break the flow of the blessing of the kingdom of God, relationally, familiarly, and bridally. Because this woman right here is his bride. And this woman right here is a princess. And what you say about a princess of the Father, you say about the Father. You separate from the Father's blessing. You bless her, you bless him. There's nothing more that I enjoy than watching my wife get blessed. Nothing more than that. It's so, so awesome. And so it is time to be careful how we handle our relationships in the body of Christ. Because look, you can have an anointing on you, but unless you're connected to the body of Christ, you're probably going to wither and die. You can't pull a tree out of its root system and expect it to produce fruit. The Lone Ranger is not going to last long in the environment of darkness and deception and demonization that's in the world. It's going to take a united church that genuinely loves one another and lives according to the culture of honor, so that the presence of God in the church is going to continually push back the darkness and establish the kingdom of God on the earth. That's the only chance we have of making it. You're not going to make it as an individual soldier. You've got to be part of an army. You're not going to make it as an individual person in the body of Christ. You've got to be connected. And the connections are honor. My leg honors my hip. My arm honors my shoulder. And if it didn't, I would be somewhat crippled and incapacitated to bring about the purposes of God. Can you say amen? So when you honor the persons that God is connected to and they honor you, there's productivity, there's energy, there's effectiveness that takes place. We can get the job done. We can do this thing. Absalom, once again, quick. Okay, we're moving on. Absalom dishonored his father. Okay, a family relationship. He violated the governmental relationship because his father was the king, and then he violated the bridal relationship because he took David's concubine and embarrassed him before the whole nation. Think about how God has honored you, just quickly, so that you understand that you've been honored to honor. You've been blessed to bless. You've been taken into the presence of God. You have the privilege of going into the presence of God any time of the day or night. The veil has been rent. The blood has been shed. You've been washed. You've been cleansed. God took you out of darkness and put you into his marvelous light. He put a robe. I mean, here we are. We're wallowing in the pig pen of sin. We're lost as lost can be. And the grace of God comes in us. And we're saved by grace through faith. And that, a gift of God, not of ourselves, so no man can boast. God saved me. God saved me. And then he honors me. He honors you. He gives you a robe. He gives you a ring. He gives you a robe of royalty. He gives you a ring of authority. He gives you shoes that you can walk out your destiny in. He honors you. He didn't say go pay it off. He didn't say go work it, work your way up from slavery to a servant, okay, and then maybe a son on probation. No, it was instant restoration. It was instant honoring. Can you say amen? Come on. Look what God's done for us. He brings us into the presence of God. He doesn't call us sinners. He calls us sons. He doesn't call us lost. He calls us found. He doesn't say you're poor. He says you're an heir to the riches of heaven. You're a king's kid. And then he puts us on the throne seated next to the Father in Christ Jesus. We've got throne room privileges. That's honor. He's honored us. Can we do any less for those that he's given to us to have a relationship with, whether it's in the family, whether it's in the government of God, whether it's in the bridal relationship, all three? Can we do anything less than honor them since we have been so honored? Do we have time? 2 minutes? I want you to take a pledge this morning, this afternoon, today, for the rest of the week and the rest of your life. This is a seminar. I want you to take a pledge to be an honorable person. Without standing up, would you put your hand over your heart? If you want to be a person of honor, if you want to be a builder of the kingdom culture of honor, just kind of repeat after me. I come into agreement with you, Lord, to be a person of honor, to bring heaven to earth by building a kingdom of culture in my marriage, in my home, in my church, in my workplace, and throughout all of society. I receive the honor that you have placed upon me. I receive your robe of honor, your ring of authority, your shoes of destiny. I, in the name of Jesus, I receive my mantle of honor in Jesus' name. Today we're here because we're honoring Pastor Rob and Pastor Gail. I mean, you did such a beautiful job here, but we just want to we want to double emphasize the honor that they should deserve. This woman has been given to this man. She is his co-laborer, his partner, his bride. And when you honor her, you honor him. This is not a one-man deal. The two are one. And that is by design. It's by God's design. I have nothing to say about it. If you think you do, clear your heart and then do FaceTime. Speak the truth in love. You got aught against someone? You go to them. They have aught against you and you know about it? You go to them. You FaceTime and you speak the truth in love. It's even more important to do that with those who have been placed over us as shepherds. To bring an accusation against an elder is a very serious thing. An elder, an elder's wife, same thing. She's an elder. She's a pastor. She's the bride. She's the mommy. Honor your father and mother. This is where it applies. Turn your gossip into gospel. Speak the truth in love. I've been pastoring, my wife and I, upwards of 30 years in the kingdom. We know what it is to be undermined, spoken about, shot in the back, dishonored, lied about. You expect that from the enemy. That's part of the atmosphere that we're in down here on earth. But it has no place in the kingdom of God. None. Zero. We let the enemy in. We truncate the outpourings of the Holy Spirit. So it is time to honor the husbands of our houses and the wives of our houses. If you want your children to honor you, parents, honor one another. And then honor them. And they will honor you. You'll begin to experience the outpourings of the presence of God in your home, in your marriage. Get the division out. Get the unity in. We don't have much time left. You read the newspapers and listen to the news as much as I do. One nuke and it's over. No, seriously. One nuke will create a chain reaction of nukes. Well, before that happens, God wants the earth to experience the presence of God. And that through the church. This church is dedicated to experiencing the presence of God. This church, because of these two people, have a vision to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Come against them, you come against heaven. Bless them. Thank God for them. Pray for them. Get in the gap for them. You know, they are in the gap for you every day. This woman is prophetic. She's an intercessor. She stands in the gap. What you don't know, and you will know someday when you see how much you have not suffered because they took a bullet for you. They stood in the gap. They fought on your behalf. They've given their life for you. They're committed to making sure you don't go to hell and you get to heaven. And more than that, that the enemy doesn't dominate your life and that God fills your life with good things and you complete your destiny. You get fresh bread. I mean fresh bread. I know this man. He's a man of the word. You get fresh bread from heaven. You're not getting someone else's sermon. You're not getting someone else's cliff notes about the Bible. You're getting downloads from heaven for you right now, today, anointed by the Holy Ghost. I know this man. I know this woman. You're getting prophetic expressions of the Word of God. She takes the word and prays over it. She anoints the word. There is a prophetic anointing here, not because of Rob so much, but because of Pastor Gail. Because she carries that mantle and releases the worship that is taking place on the platform, because they're covering the whole thing in prayer. And we need to thank them and to praise the Lord for the gift of who they are. You need to go on Facebook, and you need to tell the rest of the world, I've got a pastor, and their name is Rob and Gail. I've got one pastor, Rob and Gail. You know, of course, they're one. Got it? We've got pastors of the word. We've got pastors of prayer. We've got pastors of praise. We've got pastors of prophet. We've got pastors that have a heart for the, that hunger for the presence of God. We have a gift that God has given to us. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for what you have given to us. The scripture here says, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those who work at is preaching and teaching. Double honor. Pastor Gail and Pastor Rob, would you stand, please? While you, Pastor Jackie. Now, this is a mommy. This is a mommy giving a daughter of Zion a double blessing. She already got flowers from you. And now we're getting, I didn't study what the color means. I just feel like yellow is royalty. It's golden. And I'm going to ask Pastor Jackie, is this on? Does it have to be turned on? Is it on? You're getting breakthrough here. Oh, there it is. Okay.
Amen.
Now, there is placed in the body. We're not exalting ourselves. There is placed in the body apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping, for the edification, for the building up of the church. We know that we've been released from pastoring to be part of the building up of the church through the release of those fivefold ministries. And so, standing in that place which God has put us in, I think we would rather have retired, but instead of being retired, he chose refired. And as a mommy and daddy, we want to bless you. We feel like you're our daughter. We feel like you're very, very special to the body of Christ. You've been given to the body as a mommy, as a mother, as an intercessor. You're as sweet as they come, and you're like a bulldog when it comes to hurting your kids. You're tough. You're good. Love it. God loves it. You are who you are because God made you that way.
That's
and
right.
We receive your gift. We receive your honesty. We receive your forthrightness, your truth-telling, your discerning. Mm. We receive it. Do you receive it? You receive it? You receive her? Go ahead.
Amen. When I first met you, I felt like I gotcha. I thoroughly understood who you were and how God has wired you. And now the hour has come for you to receive how God has wired you and go with it. And go with it. You know, as we were in praise and worship, the Lord gave me a vision of who you are. And he showed me that he has robed you in metal. You are a woman of metal. You are a warrior bride. You are a warrior bride, and know that. And I saw a sword in your hand, and I saw a jungle before you. And you went as a woman of metal, as a warrior bride, and you began to cut down that which stood in the way of the purposes of God. So God has robed you in bridal garments, but he has robed you as a warrior bride. And I think, I pray that the body receives you as such, because that's how you're wired. We are all wired differently. All wired differently. But God has robed you for the specific purpose and destiny for that which he has called you to. And you are a precious vessel of the Lord. And you are a daughter of the King. And go. Go, says the Lord, with what I have robed you in. No backing down. No turning around. No quitting. Like they say in Spanish, no nada, if that's such an expression. Nothing. Nothing. Because he has robed you in that metal and with that sword. It's almost like a sickle going forth into a jungle and you cutting it down, cutting it down, cutting it down, not tolerating it, and making a way for the Lord to come. So go, says the Lord, go. And we love you.
I just want to say something really quick.